Like every day she comes home and tells me how many times she pooped at school.
Is she learning anything?
Like learning, I don't know.
Can she count? She can count. I guess she can count. Like, yeah, the bathroom is the third door on the right. One, two, three.
Already count, but yeah, it's crazy. Like, you just send them away for a whole day, and then they come back and you get like partial stories.
Yeah, this kid is a delinquent. His parents are in jail, and I pooped 4 times.
Pretty much. It's always stuff like that. In my old job, the one that I hated, like, I would poop so much there. Mostly out of boredom. Like, mostly be like, I got an hour to kill. I could probably sit down for 15, 20 minutes, and I only have 40 minutes. So I would go, and then it's like, I got 10 minutes left. I could probably just sit down for the last 10. So a lot of it was fake pooping, but sometimes my body would just be like, well, if we're here, might as well.
Yeah, because you never know.
This job, I've been at over a year now, and I've pooped twice.
It's really not healthy. I mean, if you poop once every 6 months, you should probably see a doctor.
Yeah. What's up? This is Movies On Up, a lifetime of fun in just one night. I am Dave, joined by the pimp to my Trixie, Ryan.
What's up, boo?
And we are about to give you a lifetime of fun in just one podcast. We are about to give you a free ear job as we discuss our favorite hooker movies. We are Movies On Up.
Worst hookers. We just give it away.
Yeah. But our tagline for this week, a lifetime of fun in just one night. If you know what movie that's from, hit us up, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or @moviesonup on the twitter.com, and you will win a beautiful prize package. But this week, there may or may not be a movie releasing in the theaters where Chloe Grace Moretz may or may not play a hooker. So we thought, what better way to celebrate her may or may not playing a hooker than let's talk about our favorite hooker movies.
I got your back. Or we are so looking forward to Halloween, which is absolutely the holiday for tricks or treats. We thought we would give you an entire list full of tricks.
Even though that's another 2 weeks away.
Right, but I was trying to help you out in case Chloe Grace Moretz does not play a hooker in The Equalizer.
If not.
Is it on your list?
The Equalizer, no.
No?
I do want to see it, but yeah, so we figured we'll talk about hooker movies.
Why not?
How hard was this list for you?
I'll be honest with you. There was one movie that came to mind immediately, and that made the list. And then there was a couple other ones, and I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, those are about hookers. It was actually easier than the Nick Cage list, which we will do apparently next week. I'm just finding out.
Yeah.
I hope you feel better by then.
Yeah, I hope I will, but I have a feeling I won't. I have my top 5 with one very obvious one, and we usually try to leave obvious ones off. And then I have a couple also-rans. But enough jerking around. Let's get straight to the business. Ryan, get in the back seat of a car and give us your number 5 favorite hooker movie.
No foreplay here. We'll just get right to it because we're on the clock. My number 5 is from 2005, and it's a movie that when I left the theater, I thought, this is going to change cinema forever. And it was Robert Rodriguez's Sin City, starring Bruce Willis, Mickey Rourke, Clive Owen. Lots of sex-type workers here, none of which I named in the starring cast. We'll give Rosario Dawson a tip of the hooker cap. Almost every female in this movie is a hooker or a stripper or a killer or some combination of two or all of the three. Hooray, women's lib. I will say this, though. The women in this movie are pretty tough. They don't mess around. Deadly Little Miho is a pretty great character. Total badass, along with the rest of Gail's girls. Not to read too much into the story, but I guess a hooker. They say it's the oldest profession. And one of the most powerful things, weapons, really, on the earth is not the atom bomb. It is the vagina. Sex is incredibly powerful. And definitely in this world of Basin City, whomever controls the sex really does have an awful lot of the power, which I think is kind of interesting because that's what hooking is. If guys weren't interested in getting laid all the time, there would be no need for hookers. But because we are deficient as human beings, as mammals, the market demands that there are hookers. So there are.
Sometimes hookers maybe meet a John when they're hired to entertain him at his birthday, fall in love, in typical fashion, after you fall in love, you get married, you steal cocaine from your pimp, and then you try to sell it in Hollywood, like Patricia Arquette and Christian Slater in 1993's True Romance. Yeah, maybe it's not as much about her being a hooker, but that sets up the whole story.
She was a hooker.
She was a hooker. Gary Oldman was her pimp. And without her being a hooker, you don't get one of my favorite Gary Oldman performances. It's not necessarily about hooking, but it's about a hooker in the post-hooking life and finding love and moving on. I'll say this, it's still my favorite Quentin Tarantino movie. You know, it's directed by Tony Scott, but written by Quentin Tarantino, and I like it. I enjoy this movie more than anything he's directed. Not to say bad things about what he's directed. That just says a lot about how much I love this movie.
This doesn't feel like a Quentin Tarantino movie if you watch it.
It feels like Quentin Tarantino before he became Quentin Tarantino.
Right. If you listen to it, it has the snappy dialogue. It has
the Sicilian dialogue.
Right. The Christopher Walken scene and Dennis Hopper.
It's such a good movie, and I absolutely love it. So I couldn't. I was afraid you might have this on your list and maybe higher. Like, this should be higher on my list because I like it more than most of these movies. But I just put it at 5 to get it out of the way in case there was that crossover.
Yeah, no, I just left it off. This would have been an also-ran that we talked about. I love every part of this cast. I mean, we mentioned, you know, the stars, Slater and Arquette, Dennis Hopper and Walken already. But Val Kilmer's awesome. Brad Pitt is tremendous as the complete burnout. Samuel L. Jackson shows up. Michael Rapaport. Balky from Perfect Strangers makes an appearance. It's such a diverse cast. I love the movie, but I left it off just because I feel like I've talked about it enough before, and I don't want it to become. It definitely would have been crossover because I would have had it pretty high on the list. I like it that much. But number 4, interesting that we kind of go from a movie that was written by Quentin Tarantino to a movie that was directed by a guy that produced on Pulp Fiction and wrote some of the radio dialogue for Reservoir Dogs. It's Roger Avery's 1993 joint, Killing Zoe, starring Eric Stoltz and Julie Delpy. Maybe it's a bit of a cop-out here, kind of like the entire movie's not about Patricia Arquette being a hooker, not about Alabama being a hooker, it's about what happens after. Julie Delpy's really only a part-time hooker. She's, as I'm sure we've all heard this story before, she's supplementing her income as a bank teller, hooking at night, trying to work her way through college. The problem is, the bank that she works at is about to be robbed by Zed and his buddies, which would be fine if Zed hadn't slept with Zoe and presumably fell in love with her the night before. Like I said, the movie's not really about the hooking. It just provides for a convenient way to introduce the main characters to each other and let the drama play from there. I don't know that there's a genre for hooker movies. This would belong in a heist flick genre because it is a really good example of a heist flick. I don't think it made my list when we did heist flicks, and I kind of feel a little bit bad about that because I do like it an awful lot. All the blood and violence that you might expect from a guy that was involved with Pulp Fiction, it's a little more art house than it really should be, or it's pretending to be maybe something that it's not, which is just a pretty good bank robbery film that happens to involve a little bit of hooking.
Speaking of maybe being a little bit too art house, my 2012 number 4 could be accused of that. It is Antonio Campos's Simon Killer. You have recent college graduate played by Brady Corbett, who, you know, just graduated college, has the rest of his life to look forward to. Just went through a terrible breakup. So he flees to Paris to try to kind of clear his head. One good way to clear your head is going to an exotic sex club and hook up with a gorgeous exotic sex club worker, or other word for hooker.
That's like what hookers put on their resume.
Yeah. So he meets a hooker, tries to clear his mind, and they fall in love-ish. And then it kind of brings out secrets of both of their paths. And without spoiling anything, I think it goes down a path that I would suggest no college graduate follow. If you can avoid the blackmail, betrayal, murder, I would try to as much as possible.
It's hard to be saddled with that and student loans at the same time.
Exactly. So
take it from me, folks.
If you can get the hooker without all the extra stuff, go for it. Get your head straight. But yeah, my number 4 was Simon Killer from 2012.
My number 3 is the movie that came to mind first when I thought of hooker movies. And I think to this point, it's kind of interesting that every hooker that we've had in the movie has captured the eye of our male protagonist, and he's fallen in love with, for good or for evil. This movie, that kind of happens, but not in the same way. It is 1976's Taxi Driver, directed by Martin Scorsese, starring Bob De Niro, Jodie Foster as the lovable little hooker, Albert Brooks, and Harvey Keitel. It is definitely the most obvious of all the movies that I have on my list, and the reason for that is because it's the first one that came to mind. Jodie Foster's child hooker, Iris, I think is a really interesting character, and I wasn't the only one. The Academy thought so as well. They nominated her for Best Supporting Actress. Throughout the movie, you have this 12-year-old hanging out with pimps and hoes, and Travis Bickle, who is got his own problems, you know, he's telling her that that might not be the best thing for you. Take it from me, a guy who's nuts and stalking a politician to assassinate him, but I know what you should not ought to be doing. It's probably the only rational thing he does in the entire movie is try and get her away from that lifestyle. He clearly does form a bond and attachment to her. It's not, obviously, it's not sexual. It's more of a protective type thing. And I think even at 14, which I believe is about how old Jodie Foster was when they made this movie, she does seem much older. She, on the one hand, plays the immature kid very well, but she still carries herself like a really old soul. So I think that's what brings a very interesting dynamic to that character of Iris, where she looks like a child, and in many ways she speaks and acts like a child, but she carries herself like a seasoned hooker pro.
This is one of the obvious ones. I think there are two obvious ones when you think hooker movies, and this one is disturbing because she is so young and Jodie Foster was so young. But I mean, like you said, her character seems much older, which hooking is known to do. It ages you a little bit faster.
Tell me about it.
But yeah, this was an obvious one. I left it off because I figured even if it wasn't on your list, it was going to get talked about either way. My number three has a little bit of that man meets hooker, man falls in love with hooker. But it's not so much a love story as it is Johnny Depp trying to investigate, hey, who's murdering all these hookers in old-time London in 2001's From Hell? You know, Jack the Ripper killing all these hookers. And Johnny Depp, as a clairvoyant detective for some reason, comes in and works with Heather Graham and her co-workers trying to hunt down Jack the Ripper. And it turns out Jack the Ripper is a huge conspiracy in the town. So
put that one to bed.
Yeah, but you don't have to pay for that one because we just gave it to you for free. Directed by the Hughes brothers, they've done some good stuff in the past. This movie, I don't know it's what people expected. It is pretty dark. Yeah, it's a Jack the Ripper movie. It's going to be dark. But I think it was even more dark than people expected because it is pretty damn dark. Johnny Depp's character is very troubled with opiates and whatnots. But it's a good movie. Like, I feel like this is one of Johnny Depp's that kind of came and went. And he's not wearing a funny hat and white makeup. So it kind of got forgotten. But I really enjoy this movie. It's one of my favorite. If we did a favorite Jack the Ripper movies, this would be in my top five.
Yeah, I guess it'd probably be in my top five as well. This movie is about hookers, absolutely. But I kind of feel like this is a heroin movie. As much as hooking is involved, the other H is involved just as much. My number two now is far and away my favorite movie on the list. And if I didn't tell you that, just by listening to the way I'm going to talk about it, it probably would have become pretty obvious that that was the case anyway. But I've had three movies about lady hookers, so I thought it would only be fair to kind of flip the script and find a movie about a male hooker. And there's really only one that I could put on my list, and it's John Schlesinger's 1969 Midnight Cowboy, starring John Voight, Dustin Hoffman, Sylvia Miles. It is still the only X-rated film ever to win Best Picture. Voight's character moves from Texas because he's slept with some girls in Texas, and they said that he could probably make a lot of money in a big city basically doing what he was doing in Texas. So that's really all the encouragement he needed to pack up and move to New York, thinking that it would be pretty easy to just be a high-priced male hooker in the city. And I think that's really just about the American dream. Who among us hasn't had that very same thought at some point in time? If you had, maybe you should check this flick out, because it's kind of a cautionary tale of what could happen if you move to the big city thinking you can just be a highfalutin hooker, especially the date scene at the movie theater which got this movie into an awful lot of trouble. I don't know if it's the single reason the movie got an X, but it sure as hell didn't help. So you might change your tune after it. The naivete that Voight shows throughout pretty much the entirety of the film, I think is balanced wonderfully by Dustin Hoffman's Ratso Rizzo. He absolutely steals the movie. His character is a complete loser, and there is there's no chance that he ever has of amounting to anything more than the complete loser that he is. But somehow Hoffman makes him so lovable. Your heart breaks for that character. And it's, I think AFI has it ranked as like the 7th greatest performance in modern film history. I don't know that I've really sat down to think, you know, what are my top 5, 10, 20. But this would belong in there. I love his portrayal of this character. If for no other reason, it's absolutely worth watching the movie just to see how unbelievable Dustin Hoffman was in this movie. He's just incredible. And it breaks my heart just thinking about it.
My number two, it's from 2007, starring John Leguizamo, Catherine Waterston, and Cynthia Nixon. It is The Babysitters. I don't remember this movie coming out. It was one of those that I randomly watched on Netflix one day. Catherine Waterston is a high school girl who babysits for John Leguizamo, ends up hooking up with him, and realizes that, oh, people will pay for this. So she rounds up her friends, and they start a babysitter call girl service. That would be the premise of maybe an 80s comedy. This wasn't a comedy. It's a dark movie. It goes some pretty dark places. It's a nice story on, you know, consequences and power and, you know, letting stuff get to your head. No pun intended. And Catherine Waterston, watching her in this movie, she looks like a young star, like just waiting to happen. And then I never heard Catherine Waterston's name again until she was cast in Inherit Vice. That's a big endorsement. Paul Thomas Anderson directs a movie. Everybody gets nominated. So she's the female lead in his new Inherit Vice coming out. And I'm excited to see her in that. But this movie's pretty dark. I mean, it covers some, not only is just, you know, hooking up with a babysitter a pretty dark experience because you have a family that is on the verge of breaking up. But it goes into other elements of that. And it's a weird, dark movie that, it's one of those you don't feel good about. You don't feel good about watching, but it's really well done. I'm not a Leguizamo fan, but it's really well acted. He does what he's supposed to in it, and Catherine Waterston is worth watching alone in it because she carries the movie absolutely and does great.
The reason that I didn't put Midnight Cowboy at number one is because I kind of wanted to build my list a very specific way, and I've said that I've liked movies with lady whores and movies with fella whores. For my number one, I said it would be lovely to come up with a movie
Animal Whores?
Both lady whores and man whores.
We're going somewhere else.
Kind of like a cherry on the top of the hooker cake. And I said, what about Breakfast at Tiffany's? Starring Audrey Hepburn, George Peppard, and Mickey Rooney, directed by Blake Edwards, the 1961 joint. I don't care how many college-age ladies have the picture of Holly Golightly in their dorm room and absolutely want to model themselves after her in this movie, especially the ones that haven't seen it, because Holly Golightly is absolutely a hooker. She makes money from having a stable of dudes that just hang around and basically give it to her in more ways than one. And I'm sure in 1961, I guess the inferences were there more than the actual proof that she was, in fact, a bottom-feeding trash bag hooker. She even has one guy, one John, that she gets money from who's a gangster, is in jail. That's how much a whore she is. Paul, or as he will always be known to me, Hannibal from the A-Team, always seems to leech money from this older lady that lives in Hepburn's building. And I think, like I said, in 1961, that it was easy enough to play their vocations off as innocent grifters. But to be honest, they were, in fact, escorts at best, hookers at the worst. With all that being said, I really do kind of like the movie. It's a romance flick. You want these two kids to get together. You see all the scumbags that Audrey Hepburn hangs around with, and this writer, Paul, seems like a pretty regular dude. who doesn't really judge her for being a whore, because he kind of is as well. But she has her sights set on this really rich dude because she's going to get her payday. And throughout the entirety of the movie, you just say, like, hey, stop. This guy really likes you. The other guy, maybe not so much. You want them to get together. And there's kind of that sort of heartbreaking scene at the end in the rain with the cat, I believe. She's got a cat or a dog, one of the two. Some kind of furry animal that maybe an animal hooker. Not sure. But I do legitimately like this movie. I don't like it more than Midnight Cowboy. But I just thought it was fair to have a movie that had a man and a woman hooker that fall in love and live happily ever after. Spoiler alert.
My number one has plenty of hookers in it, but it's more about their pimps. Two guys who are working the overnight shift at a local morgue and decide, hey, we could make some extra money by turning this into a brothel. And that's what you get with Ron Howard's Night Shift from 1982, starring the Fonz, kicking off Michael Keaton's movie career, and Shelley Long. It's one of those movies that came out around the same time that, like, Meatballs and Porky's and all these, like, 80s.
It's 1982. It's a sex comedy. Yeah.
Sex comedies came out. But I feel like this one didn't pick up like the others, which is a shame. I mean, this kicked off a phenomenal run for Michael Keaton. He owned the early 80s. This was Winkler on his way down. So, I mean, it was kind of a fun dynamic.
Ships in the Night Shift.
Yeah, so it was a nice little dynamic to see. And when you go back and look at this, it's a funny damn movie. Just the concept. You have the guy who's stuck working midnights with the obnoxious guy. Meets a hooker that lost her pimp, and then the obnoxious guy looking for that one big idea. It's a silly idea. It's totally an 80s comedy premise, but it's still hilarious. It's a funny movie, and I don't think there's much funny about real prostitution. Although brothels are a little bit different. They're not the street-walking type. But still, just it's a weird concept that you could get away with in the 80s that if they tried to do now, it would be so watered down that I don't think it would work. But if nothing else, you got to thank this movie for Michael Keaton. He had done mostly TV stuff before this, but he kind of comes in and steals it, which Michael Keaton is known to do. So my number one prostitution movie, Night Shift.
I feel like there were probably a lot that we left off. I mean, please don't yell at us for not putting Pretty Woman on there. I get it. That is about a prostitute. One of the ones that I had a little bit of a tough time trying to leave off because I do like the movie. The 1983 joint, Risky Business. Or again, Tom Cruise falls in love with a hooker, Rebecca De Mornay. Bronson Pinchot shows up again. So Balky definitely had his run of being involved in movies with prostitution. Joey Pants is really good in it. When you kind of said that a babysitting service that turns into an escort service, you think about Risky Business and, oh, these guys, in order to make some money, have this party, and they're going to invite basically Tom Cruise's girlfriend and all her coworkers to try and get money out of high school kids. But it doesn't really kind of work out as ha-ha as you think. But it is a pretty good love story between Tom Cruise and Rebecca De Mornay. And it never seems weird, the fact that she's, you know, quite a bit older, or supposed to be quite a bit older.
And he's in high school.
Yeah, and he's in high school.
And she's a hooker.
Right. But you're still rooting for those two kids. And I think even as a girl, you're probably like, well, it's Tom Cruise. I mean,
like, even Pretty Woman is pretty degrading when you think about it. Like, he bought her.
Yeah.
He bought her and gave more money to fall in love with her. And it's just, Pretty Woman's great. It's a good movie. I mean, Julia Roberts is fantastic in that. Richard Gere's really good. It's a fun movie, but it's just weird to think how many movies are about prostitution and how many of them
took the oldest profession.
Yeah, but how many of them took like a comedic turn with it?
Well, I guess prostitution could go one of two ways. You know, it goes dark.
Most, if it's good, it's going three ways.
Heyo, that does make it a bit more equitable for most of the parties involved. But yeah, I mean, it can either go dark or it can go kind of funny. And I think that, well, I don't know, Breakfast at Tiffany's isn't really funny or dark. But for the most part, all my movies are, I went with all the dark ones.
Yeah. My number one was the only, like, not dark one. I mean, True Romance was the second least dark.
That's true. And it has some humor in it.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why. Sometimes when we do these, I don't want to call them broad lists because
stuff that's not really a genre.
Right. Things that you can apply. I can say Breakfast at Tiffany's is a movie about hookers because the two principal characters are hookers, whether you want to admit it or not. Every 22-year-old,
like From Hell, may not think about as a hooker movie, but it's absolutely a hooker movie.
Sure. So there may be, you know, a movie that you have. What's your favorite film hooker?
Maybe it's Can't Buy Me Love. Patrick
Dempsey. Yeah. Was that the one where he was mowing grass and he wanted to buy a
he became like an
telescope?
Escort.
Yeah.
Then they remade it with Nick Cannon. Loverboy? Or no. I forget what the Nick Cannon one was called. There were two Patrick Dempsey movies. One was Can't Buy Me Love,
I think.
One was Loverboy. One of them, he became like a male escort.
I think Can't Buy Me Love was the one that he...
That was the lawnmower one.
Yeah,
I can't remember if that was
lawnmower one,
because
he had to pay for this girl to hang out with him. Maybe she did like give him a handy or something.
I think Loverboy might be the one that...
Yeah, that's the one
hooker.
You're thinking of, the hooking, but... Dempsey, he had a good run in like the early 80s and then came
Run.
Back around.
I still like Run as a movie. But that's enough about, we kind of got off topic there.
Waka waka.
But now it's time for us to get off.
To
I
finish.
Think we've reached the climax of this episode. Yeah. So this is the last episode of September, I think.
No.
Or no, it's not. Next week is the last episode
gotcha
of
that
November.
Time.
And maybe next week, who knows, maybe we'll talk about a hooker movie that we didn't even bring up today.
Right.
Because maybe we were just waiting to talk about it next week. But who knows? Maybe it'll
You'll
come up.
You'll have to wait and see.
Yep. So until next week, keep hooking and
get it up.